Thanks, Randy. I appreciate it.
Shut up.
Randy's living proof that even intelligent people can be stupid.
Wonder where I get it from.
Yeah. All right, now, well, tell you what, let's go ahead and Brother Cook, would you pray?
Lord, as usual, we fail all the time. We thank you for your mercy. But help us to remember that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And thank you, Lord, for mercy. Bless us tonight. We've got our ears in tune here. Fill us with your spirit, both the preacher and us listeners. And Lord, we're expecting to get some help tonight.
Amen.
We love you and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now, from this point on in Jeremiah, there's 270 verses left. And a lot of it is just going on and on about cities, nations, things of that sort. I had considered not covering them. I thought, no, because A, there are some who are going to turn this in for course evaluation. For example, Kyle Beal will. This will be one of his courses, all right? Well, Dale and I have been talking over probably any time now can get you your master's degree. But we're going to do a lot of reading tonight. And of these verses, and go over them, and I'll from time to time make comment on what we're reading. If you have questions, raise your hand, and there's somebody, if you see somebody raise their hand, people tell me they raise their hand. All right, so Jeremiah 45, the word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seest thou the great things for thyself? Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all the places where thou goest. So again, everything's being torn apart. He's going to lose everything, but the Lord told him, I'll see to it that you can live. Okay? That's all you're going to come out of this is with your life. Okay? All right, 46. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles. And if you remember at the beginning, God said, I'll make thee a prophet to the nations. So it's more than just Israel. Against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. So one of the things that happened here is that great army of Pharaohs that tell you Nebuchadnezzar smote it. Okay? And one of the things to understand is the huge change that's gone on in the ancient world here. Up until this time, Egypt was the most powerful of all nations. And one of the ways to be powerful wasn't so much a big army. How do you feed a big army?
Right.
You know, I mean, you can get a bunch of guys together with swords, but when they go out to fight, who's feeding their families? What Egypt had is the Nile River every single spring replenished all the silt and everything all the way from the jungles of Africa, deposited there, and it was always rich, and they always grew far more than they could ever use themselves. And as a result, they accumulated wealth, and they were able to have armies and control things around them and such. What ends up happening in Nebuchadnezzar's time is they finally break the back of Egypt. And at one point, the Lord will say, you'll never be a big kingdom again. You just always be some, and that's all Egypt's ever been since then. It's just a little third world nation. And in other words, the world has changed enough. Farming techniques have changed. Other places now can grow a lot of food. Other places can sustain themselves. And Egypt has lost their...
Pastor?
Yes?
Just in context, so if he said you're never going to be a great nation again, would this go under context of what Utah being turned over to a reprobate mind to ensure that?
Well, that in itself is not the same thing. That is one way God could keep them from being a great nation, is turn them over to a reprobate mind. But here he merely just saw to it they never had military power again.
Making sure I understood context.
Right, that's okay. That was a good question. All right. So again, verse 3, order ye the buckler and shield and draw near to battle. Harness the horses and get up, ye horsemen, and stand forth with your helmets. Furnish the spears and put on the brigandines. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away back, and their mighty ones are beaten down and are fled apace, and look not back, for fear was round about, saith the Lord. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go up and will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, Pharaoh is actually likened to a river beast in the river. Okay, and he's likened to that, and he becomes a picture of the devil himself when you're reading Ezekiel. Ezekiel, once you get past 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and there Pharaoh becomes the devil. And he's likened to that beast in a river. And so here's one of these portrayals again of Egypt as being this big river.
Is that why Jerusalem gets called Egypt?
It gets called Egypt because Egypt is also symbolic of the world itself, okay? But that, and it probably, there's probably still a tie in there. She asks, is that why Jerusalem's called Egypt? Egypt is a picture of the world, okay? God's people were in Egypt, but they weren't Egyptians. Good Christians, they're in the world, but they're not supposed to be of the world, okay? There comes a point when God blacked out the whole land of Egypt. They're under complete darkness. And you say, well, how did the sun shine then in Goshen? It didn't. It said there was light in their dwellings. That's us today in the world. You're in the night, but you're not of the night. Okay? You're just like those people of Israel. You're standing here in a dark world, but in your dwelling is light. Okay? And you have that. All right. Verse 9, come up ye horses and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle the bend the bow. For this is the day of the Lord of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall satiate, and be made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. There's that question asked, is there no balm in Gilead, all right? There's supposed to be a place where you could go and hear the word of God, and instead, nobody was getting that. Verse 12, the nations have heard of thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land. For the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they're fallen both together. The word that the Lord spake to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. Declare ye in Egypt, and publish in Migdol, and publish in Noph, and in Tahpenes, and say, stand fast, prepare thee, for the sword shall devour round about thee. Why are thy valiant men swept away? They stood not, because the Lord did drive them. He made many to fall, yea, one fell upon another, and they said, arise, and let us go again to our own people, into the land of our nativity, from the oppressing sword. They did cry there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed. As I live, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains, and as Carmel by the sea, so shall he come. O thou daughter, dwelling in Egypt, furnish thyself to go into captivity, for Noph shall be waste and desolate without the inhabitant. Remember, he told them, don't go into Egypt, okay? So he's telling those Jews that are there, my daughter, you're about to go into captivity. You thought you're going to be free going there. And again, that's why Egypt is a picture of the world. People who leave the house of God, go into the world, go into captivity, okay? We have a lot of testimonies people could give of that. All right, verse 20. Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction cometh that cometh out of the north. Also her hired men are in the midst of her, like fatted bullocks, for they also are turned back and are fled away together. They did not stand because the day of their calamity was upon them, and the time of their visitation. The voice thereof shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with axes as hewers of wood. They shall cut down her forests, saith the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are more than the grasshoppers and innumerable. The daughter of Egypt shall be confounded. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saith, behold, I will punish the multitude of No, that's a city in Egypt, and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods and their kings, even Pharaoh and all of them that trust in him. And I will deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of his servants. And afterward it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, saith the Lord. But fear not thou, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save thee from afar off, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and be in rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Now that happened during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, where they were scattered, God brought them back together, and it'll happen again. Okay. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, and I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee. But I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure. Yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. Okay. Matthew 25, that judgment of the nations. What are they judged for? How did you treat my brethren? How did you treat the Jews? Hey, Germany, how'd you treat the Jews? All right. Hey, Czechoslovakia, how'd you treat the Jews? Hey, Assyria, how'd you treat the Jews? Okay. And they're judged on that, whether goat or their sheep nations. 47, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before that Pharaoh smote Gaza. And if you look, the Gaza Strip, which is off the Sinai Peninsula, Egypt's always had a lot of influence on that place there, if you look at a map of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood. It shall overflow the land and all that is therein, the city and them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl at the noise of the stamping of the hooves of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, and at the rumbling of his wheels. The fathers shall not look back to their children for feebleness of hands. Because of the day that cometh to spoil all the Philistines, and to cut off from Tyrus and Zidon every helper that remaineth, for the Lord will spoil the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Kaphtor. Baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? O thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou quiet? Put up thyself into the scabbard and rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord hath given it a charge against Ashkelon, against the seashore? There hath he appointed it. What the world's going through is one of those great tumultuous times that from time to time happens, similar to, say, World War II, where nothing was the same afterwards, okay? Everything changed after that. And that's what the world's going through here. Everything people knew before, it's all different, okay? We have young ones here who may live through something like that, where everything's different than any of us ever knew, us people my age, all right? It might be the world Caleb grows up in will be so radically different because of destruction or disease or war or whatever else than anything we've ever suspected or known. 48. Against Moab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe unto Nebo, for it is spoiled. Kiriathaim is confounded and taken, and Mizgab is confounded and dismayed. There shall be no more praise of Moab and Heshbon. They have devised evil against it and come and be cut off from the... Being a nation, also thou shalt be cut down, O madmen, the sword shall pursue thee. A voice of crying shall be against her, O Naam, spoiling and great destruction. Moab is destroyed, her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. For in the going up of Lutheth, continual weeping shall go up. For in the going down of Horonaim, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives, and be like the heath in the wilderness. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasure, thou also be taken, and Chemosh shall go forth, that was their god, into captivity with his priests and princes together. And the spoilers shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, the Lord hath spoken. Give wings unto Moab that it may flee away, for the cities thereof shall be desolate without any to dwell therein. You know, I was reading Max Hastings' History of World War I, and he talked about the Russian army coming into Prussia. And at one point they invaded there in World War I. And he just said, you know, we think of those areas as just knowing war. He said, no, this area of Prussia was a Protestant area with fire departments and schoolhouses and stores, and been well over 100 years since any war had ever happened in that area whatsoever. And suddenly soldiers are coming and they're just coming into your houses and burning them and taking anything they want out of the houses, dragging women out and all this kind of stuff. And he said, you need to get the idea that this is a settled community that never thought they'd ever see war in a million years. Okay, that's the same area that when the Russian army came in at the end of World War II. And keep in mind, the Germans had been horrible to the Russians when they went in there. And again, it was one of the more civilized areas of Germany, that Prussian area. It would remind you of just American towns and that kind of thing. And when they were done and the children had to flee to the fields, the Russians saw to it that no one fed those children. And a whole generation of children just survived eating rats and mice in the field. And these are children that went to kindergarten and came home and mama made cookies for them and went to grandma's on Sunday and this kind of thing. And there's all a whole generation survived just like madmen in the out there and just surviving on anything they could. Just the Russians trying to punish the Germans for what they did. They're one of the most miserable generations of people anywhere, okay? Mr. Dan? The heath is a bush that survives where most can't survive, okay? It's getting a little bit of water. So you see, you'll be like that heath in the wilderness. You're out there surviving on whatever little thing you can survive on. So don't ever think, you know, that can't happen here. You know, that kind of thing can't happen. That's why you train your children to know the word of God.
So, I thought heath was fish.
No. Mm-hmm. Nope. All right. There are heath bars. All right. All right. Verse 11. Verse 10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remaineth in him, and his scent is not changed. In other words, Moab's just known ease. He's never known anything bad, all right? And now all this has come upon them. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, will I will send unto him wanderers that will cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. And Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, that's their god, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence. How say ye we are mighty and strong men for the war? If you remember, Bethel is what Jeroboam set up with the false priests and the golden calves, okay? All right. How say we are mighty and strong men for the war? Verse 15, Moab is spoiled and gone up from of their cities, and his chosen young men are gone down to the slaughter, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. The calamity of Moab is near to come, and affliction hasteth fast. All ye about him bemoan him, and all ye that know his name say, how is the strong staff broken and the beautiful rod? Thou daughter that dost inhabit Dibon, come down from their glory and sit in thirst. For the spoil of Moab shall come upon thee, and he shall destroy thy strongholds. O inhabitant of Aroer, stand up in the way, and espy, ask him that fleeth, and her that escapeth, and say, what is done? Moab is confounded, for it is broken down. Howl and cry, tell ye it in Arnon, and Moab is spoiled. And judgment is come upon the plain country, upon Holon, and upon Jehazah, and upon Mephahath, and upon Dibon, and upon Nebo, and upon Beth Diblaim, and upon Kirathiarim, and upon Beth Gamel, and upon Beth Mean, and upon Kiriath, and upon Bozrah, and upon all the cities of the land of Moab, far near. The horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, saith the Lord. Make ye him drunken, for he magnified himself against the Lord. Moab shall also wallow in his vomit, and he shall also be in derision. For was not Israel a derision unto thee? Was he found among thieves? For since thou spakest of him, thou skippest for joy. In other words, Moab used to laugh at Israel and such, so God's doing this back to Moab. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He's exceedingly proud, his loftiness and arrogancy, and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, saith the Lord, it shall not be so. His lies shall not affect it. Therefore will I howl for Moab. I will cry for all the Moab. Mine heart shall mourn for the men of Kahiris. O vine of Sibmah, I will weep for thee with the weeping of Jazer. Thy plants are gone over the sea. They reach even to the sea of Jazer. The spoilers fallen upon the summer fruits and upon thy vintage. And joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab. I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. Their shouting shall be no shouting. Keep in mind again, people lived at these times hand to mouth. If you had a great harvest, you might have a better winter. If you had a tiny harvest, you barely made it through the winter. You know, you wondered how you're going to make it in the spring when it came forth. So if an enemy came in and took your crop, what are you going to do? Okay? You have nothing. And people just starve, and you know, they're out there, and this is what's happening to Moab now, all right? Well, 34, all right, thank you. From the cry of Heshbon, even unto Elah, and even unto Jazer, have they uttered their voice from Zoar, even to Horonaim, as an heifer of 3 years old, for the waters also of Nimrod shall be desolate. Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, saith the Lord, him that offereth in the high places, and him that burneth incense to his gods. Therefore mine heart shall sound for Moab like pipes, and mine heart shall sound like pipes for the men of Kirias, because the riches that he hath gotten are perished. For every head shall be bald, Nathan, and every beard clipped, upon all the hands shall be cuttings, upon the loins sackcloth. Right. There shall be lamentation generally upon all the houses of Moab and the streets thereof. For I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein is no pleasure, saith the Lord. They shall howl, saying, how is it broken down? How hath Moab turned the back with shame? So shall Moab be a derision and dismay to all them about him. For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle, shall spread his wings over Moab. Kiriath is taken, his strongholds are surprised, the mighty men's hearts in Moab. At that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Fear and pit and the snare shall be upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab, saith the Lord. He that fleeth with the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. They that fled stood under the shadow of Heshbon because of the force. But a fire shall come out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sion, and shall devour the corner of Moab, and the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones. Woe be unto thee, O Moab, the people of Chemosh perisheth, for thy sons are taken captives, and thy daughters captives, yet I will bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. Why all this time for this nation? Because the people who lived at that time, Moab was a powerful nation. All right, it was like hearing that all of France is going to be wiped out, or hearing that all of, you know, England is going to be wiped out. It's almost amazing to people to think that something that tumultuous could happen. All right, 49, concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord, he's about to turn his attention to them. Hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth they, the king inherit Gad, and thy people dwell in his cities? In other words, part of the inheritance that Israel was to have, there's Ammonites living in it. All right? The Lord's going to settle that. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap. And her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. Howl, O Heshbon, for Ai is spoiled. Cry, ye daughters of Rabbah, gird you with sackcloth, lament, and run to and fro by the hedges, by their kings, shall go into captivity, and his priests and his princes together. Wherefore gloriest thou in the valleys of flowing daughter, O backsliding daughter, that trusted in the treasure, saying, who shall come unto me? Behold, I will bring a fear upon thee, saith the Lord God of hosts, from all those that be about thee, and ye shall be driven out every man right forth, and none shall gather up him that wandereth. And afterward I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee, ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring calamity upon Esau, upon him the time that I will visit him. Esau is Edom, okay? Ronnie?
Moab and Ammon are from my daughter Drake.
Yes. Okay. Yep. All right. Verse 8, flee, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, time that I will visit him. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, they will destroy till they have enough. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places. He shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. He's saying this, you know, if people came and robbed your vineyard, they'd probably leave a little bit, all right? None's going to be left for you, all right? Leave thy fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken. And thou art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual waste. I have heard a rumor from the Lord, an ambassador sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together and come against her and rise up to the battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen, despised among men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. You sir?
Where does Bozrah mean?
It's a place. It's a land. Yep. You're listening. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, and holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor's cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan, against the habitation of the strong, but I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man, that I may appoint over her? For who is like me, and who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore hear the counsel of the Lord, that he hath taken against Edom, his purposes, that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations desolate with them. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall, and at the cry and the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as an eagle and spread his wings over Bozrah. At that day shall the heart of the mighty men of Edom be at the heart of a woman in her pangs. Concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded, and Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow in the sea. It cannot be quiet. Caleb.
I'm asking your question.
Why?
It's probably a thing. When it says hearing from the Red Sea, is that kind of context when God split the Red Sea?
No, he's just talking about the Red Sea, but he's not talking about that time he split it, okay? All right. All right. When you're asking her questions, she can't hear, and other people are distracted. So if you have a question, we don't mind you raising your hand, okay? All right. 23, concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded and Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and fear seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire on the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. Concerning Kedar, and concerning the kingdoms of Hazar, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, shall smite, thus saith the Lord, arise ye up to Kedar and spoil the men of the east. Their tents and their flocks shall they take away. They shall take to themselves their curtains and all their vessels and their camels, and they shall cry unto them, fear is on every side. Flee, get you far off, dwell deep, O ye inhabitants of Hazor, saith the Lord. For Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, hath taken counsel against you and hath conceived a purpose against you. Arise, get you up unto the wealthy nation that dwelleth without care, saith the Lord, which have neither gates nor bars, which dwell alone. Their camels shall be a booty, and the multitude of their cattle is spoiled, and I will scatter under the winds them that are in the utmost quarters, and I will bring their calamity from all sides thereof. And Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons. In other words, Egypt never had to build walls. They were just out at the end of these deserts, and they never had to build that kind of thing. People never invaded. They said, all right, go on, go into Egypt. You know, flee there. It's not going to do you one bit of good. Okay? So Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons and a desolation for there, and there shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all these winds. They shall be no nation where the outcasts of Elam shall not come. And I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam and destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Now 50, he's going to get on the Babylonians. They're the ones that he has used to tear all these down. But now he's going to give judgments against them. The word of the Lord spake against Babylon, against the land of the Chaldeans, by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Publish, and conceal not, say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. That's their gods, okay? When it says rise up a standard, that's like a battle flag, okay? All right. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her. And that's the Medes that came, and Cyrus and such. They came and they conquered them. Which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. And they shall remove, and they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, and they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. That's Ezra and Nehemiah leaving Babylon, all right? Because Cyrus has let them go. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep, their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned away them away on the mountains and have gone from the mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, we offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. So when people were destroying Israel, they're saying, we're not sinning. These people sinned against their God. And if you remember, that is exactly the things that were being said by the Babylonians as they came in. All right. Verse 8, remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the goats before the flocks. For lo, I will raise and come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. They shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as the mighty, expert man. None shall return in vain. And Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. Because you were glad, because you rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage, because you are grown fat as an heifer at grass and bellow as bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nation shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss and her plague. Even to this day, Iraq is just mostly desert. Okay? It's hard to believe that was ever a great, powerful nation that everyone trembled at. But that's what God prophesied against it. 13. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about. All ye bend the bow, shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand, her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down. For does the vengeance of the Lord take vengeance upon her as she hath done unto her? Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the oppressing sower, they shall turn every one to his people, and shall flee every one to his own land. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last this Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring that, by the way, that's Daniel chapter 5, okay, where you see where Babylon falls, okay. And I will bring again Israel against to his habitation. He shall feed on Carmel and Bashan. His soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them who I reserve. Go up against the land of Mirathaim, even against it, saith the inhabitants of Pekod, and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Waste and utterly destroy them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle is in the land, and great destruction. How is the hammer of the old earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation of the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art taken, O Babylon, and wast not aware. Thou art found also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory, and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation, for this is the work of the Lord of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border, open her storehouses, cast her up as heaps, and destroy her utterly. Let nothing be left of her. Slay all her bullocks, let them go down to the slaughter, and woe to them, for their day has come, the time of their visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it. Round about, let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done. Do unto her, for she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts. For that day is come, the time that I will visit thee. And the utmost shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and shall devour all around about him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall throughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword is against the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, upon the inhabitants of Babylon, upon her princes, upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon their mingled people, in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A sword is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is a land of graven images, and they are mad of their idols. Therefore the wild beasts of the desert, from the wild beasts of the island, shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell there, and it shall be no more inhabited forever, neither shall it be a dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell there. This will that has not yet happened to Babylon. Babylon today is still a small village, okay? But it will come that no one will dwell there. That's actually talked about in Isaiah 34, places like that where God actually takes it and makes it a reservation for satyrs, doleful creatures, dragons. Not far from there, the lake of fire will be there. Sir?
What about Babylon and Revelation?
That's Babylon.
So they can be that rich in such a small area.
Yeah. In other words, if you look at a map of the world, what a perfect place to build a place to control all the wealth of the world. Okay, I've heard there's already great things being built there. Okay. In other words, Revelation chapter 18 talks about Babylon being this rich, tremendous place. All right, and it's Babylon. All right, there's Mystery Babylon in 17. But then there's Babylon, regular Babylon, in 18. All right. 41. Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation and many kings shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel. They will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride upon horses, everyone put in array, like a man in the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as a woman in travail. Again, read Daniel 5, and you'll see that happen. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan, under the habitation of the strong. And I will make them suddenly run away from her. Who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me, and who will appoint at that time, and who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among all nations. Babylon had a huge wall around it. Huge. Where chariots could go side by side on that wall and battlements against it. The river Euphrates ran right through Babylon. And they had these huge gates that were closed. And the river came right up to the bottom of those gates. And so it was considered impregnable. And what Cyrus the Great did is he went a couple miles up and his men dug an artificial lake and then broke down that wall, and suddenly the river rushed into that lake. In that period of time, they rushed under the gates of Babylon. And that's how it got taken. Okay? And that's what you see in Daniel chapter 5. All right. 51. We're getting there. This is a long chapter, 64 verses. Caleb said he'd read them all if I didn't, but I'll read them. All right. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them, them that rise up against me, a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land. Think of a crop where they take the fanners and they fan the crop to get the chaff off of it, okay? For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth the archer, bend his bow, and against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine, and spare her not, her young men, destroy ye utterly all their hosts. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that thrust through in the street. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain, if so she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her. Let her go, everyone, into his own country, for her judgment reacheth unto heaven, is lifted up into the skies. The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. For his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushing. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. How's that for a description of God? You have trouble praising God sometime? Turn there to Jeremiah 1:15, and just read that to him. When he uttereth his voice through a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, he maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge, every founder is confounded by the graven image. Founder being someone who runs a foundry, okay? All right, for the molten image is falsehood, and there's no breath in them. They are vanity and work of errors. For the time of their visitation thus shall come. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. Talking about the Lord, not the former like he's a has-been, meaning he formed everything. Okay, it's one of the descriptions of God, the former of all things. You that formed everything that's there. Okay, he is the former of all things. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Now look what he says, verse 20. Bill Randall said this was the purpose of Israel. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and thee will I destroy kingdoms. Okay? And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee I will break in pieces the chariot and rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, And with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I'll also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and thee will I break in pieces the husband and the yoke of oxen. With thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers, and I will render unto Babylon, to all the inhabitants of the Chaldea, all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out mine hand upon thee and roll thee down the rocks, will make thee a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith the Lord. Set ye up a standard in the land, blow ye the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat and Mini and Ashkenaz, appoint a captain against her and cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof in the land of his dominion. And those are the people that overthrew Babylon, okay? As the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. They have failed. They became as women. They have burned their dwelling places. Their bars are broken. What ended up happening, Babylon became so strong that after a while they didn't think they needed war anymore, and the men forgot how to fight. Okay. Do you realize in Switzerland today that if you're over 21 years old and you do not have a military-grade rifle in your house, you're fined? And there you must be part of the militia, and they practice just like volunteer firemen do here. All right, that's why people don't invade Switzerland. All right, well, Babylon, they just forgot how to fight. Okay. One post shall run to another and one messenger to meet another to show the king of Babylon, and his city is taken at one end. And the passages are stopped, the reeds that have burned with fire, and the men of war are frightened. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is a time to thresh, yet a little while, the time of her harvest shall come. Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me, hath crushed me, hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. It's Israel crying out, the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry, and Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions, they shall yell as lions' whelps, and their heat I will make their feasts. And I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice, and sleep a perpetual sleep, and not wake, saith the Lord. And I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with the he-goats. How is Shishak taken? And how is the praise of the whole earth surpassed? How is Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with a multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land where no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. And I will punish Bel and Babylon, that's their god, and I'll bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. That when Jeremiah prophesied that, that seemed impossible that such a thing could happen. Okay. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord, lest your heart faint, and ye fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come up one year and it. And after that, in another year, shall come a rumor and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven image of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. You're confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come unto the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven images. Throughout all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she be fortified the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come, saith the Lord. A sound of cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. because the Lord has spoiled Babylon, destroyed of her the great voice, when her waves do roar like great waters, the noise of their voice is uttered. Because the spoilers come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely require. And I will make her drunk, her princes, and her wise men, her captains, and her rulers, and her mighty men. And they shall sleep a perpetual sleep, and not wake, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. And the people shall labor in vain, the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, which went with Zedekiah the king of Judah into Babylon the fourth year of his reign. And Seraiah was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evils that should come upon Babylon, even all the words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when thou comest to Babylon, and see, and shall read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, forever it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it in the midst of Euphrates, and thou shalt say, thus say, shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far the words of Jeremiah. Now there's an original copy of the scriptures. Lord, you put it in the river. How do we know this is right? Because God promised to preserve his word. He doesn't need the originals to do that. Okay, there's good proof of it right there. Now we're going to read this last chapter. And again, this is the fourth time the complete destruction of Zedekiah is spelled out. The other thing I know that's given four times is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's that important to the Lord that you know that Zedekiah is destroyed. David, that's that thing that I was reading just before all that stuff happened and thought, huh. And kind of prepared me for what was to come. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna, not the real Jeremiah. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. And through the anger of the Lord, by the way, when your life is over, will the Lord say you did evil or you did good? Okay? You notice it's not like in between or something, okay? And though the anger of the Lord, he came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. It came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, the 10th month, the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and his army, against Jerusalem and pitched against it, built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged under the 11th year of King Zedekiah. In the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so there was no bread for the people of the land, and the city was broken up. And all the men of war fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which were by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered for him. They took the king and carried him up and to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. And he slew also all the princes of Judah and Riblah. And he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon, and bound him in chains, and carried him to Babylon, and put him in the prison to the day of his death. Sat against the prison wall in chains, with the gore of his eyes running down. Okay. Now in the fifth month, the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuchadnezzar, king, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon in Jerusalem, and burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the great men burned he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard break down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, carried away captive certain of the poor of the people, the resident of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon, the rest of the multitude. But Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, left certain of the poor of the land for vine dressers and for husbandmen. Jesus Christ said the poor would inherit the earth, all right? Also the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases of the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans brake and carried all the brass of them to Babylon. The cauldrons also, and the shovels, and the snuffers, and the bowls, and the spoons, and the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered. took the way, and all the basins and the fire pans and the bowls and the cauldrons and the candlesticks and the spoon and the cups. There was a gold and the gold, and that which was of gold and gold, and that which was of silver and silver, took the captain of the guard away. The two pillars, one sea, and 12 brazen bowls that were under the bases, which King Solomon made in the house of the Lord. The brass of all his vessels was without weight. And concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits. That's 18 times 18, as far as inches, if you want to know how tall that is, which would be, probably, I guess, about 27. Wow, that's pretty tall. 18 and 9, yeah, it'd be 27 feet high, a pillar, okay? And a fill of 12 cubits did compass it, and the thickness thereof was 4 fingers, it was hollow. And the chapter, in other words, imagine a pillar, and the brass is 4 fingers thick, you know, that hollow, you know, that goes around, and it's 27 feet tall, made of brass. All right? The second pillar also, and the pomegranates were like these. Verse 23, and there were 96 pomegranates on the side, and all the pomegranates on the network were round about. And the captain of the guard took Sarai, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three keepers of the door, and took out also the city and eunuch, and they had the charge of the men of war, and 7 men that were near the king's person, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host, who mustered the people, and of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land, and were found in the midst of the city. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and put them to death in Riblah, in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive out of his own land. This is the people whom Nebuchadrezzar carried away captive in the 7th year, 3,000 Jews and 23. In the 18th year of Nebuchadrezzar, he carried away captives to Jerusalem 832 persons. The 23rd and 20th year of Nebuchadrezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried captive of the Jews 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, and the 25th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison. When I was a castaway and would not be used of God, and God would not use me, this is one of the people I would bring before the Lord and say, he sat in that prison, but you didn't forget him. You brought him up. He's been sitting in prison all this time, and suddenly one of the kings brings him up, puts him in a king's garments, and lets him eat at the table again. Okay? Amen. And brought him forth out of prison. Verse 32, and spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of all the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was a continual diet given him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion, until the day of his death, all the days of his life. John Vadis, would you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a lot to take in tonight, Father. You showed us your